Candace Owens and Destiny get into a debate about morality, and let's just say that Candace took that boy to the she shed.
You're 30, how old
Five.
Are you? You're 35 years old.
Yep.
Okay, so what are you, what is that?
Look, I get it, it's a stupid word, but I don't know what you would call it when a beta male and a woman go at it and the woman wins, but that's exactly what happened in their video, and that's what we're gonna talk about today, because their debate is a great illustration for some of the cultural conversation that we're having today, and if not, at least maybe that we should be having today. Should we believe in moral relativism or objective truth? You do you. Is that a great way to lead society? I'll talk more about that and more today on Indie Thinker. Welcome to the show. My name is Reed Huberman. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Now, I'm watching some of you. I know that the vast majority of you watching this show don't subscribe to the channel, but you do watch a large portion of the show. So it's important for you to subscribe so you can hear the great things that is happening here at Indie Thinker. And one of those things is that we are in the process of filming a full-length feature documentary on the epidemic of fatherlessness in America. Right now, we're experiencing skyrocketing numbers in the breakdown of the nuclear family. And even if fathers are in homes, very many of them are absent from their kids' lives in a meaningful way. We want to do something about that here at Indie Thinker. I didn't ever start this channel just so that I could build a platform or get views and monetize my channel and get a couple measly bucks from our ad sponsors. No, what I wanted to do is I wanted to change the world. I wanted to change culture. And I think one of the linchpin issues of our time is making sure that fathers are in homes raising their kids with their moms. Now, this documentary is just in the very, very beginning stages. And already we've gone into not only the repercussions of fatherlessness, but some of the culprits who are actively and intentionally behind removing dads from homes. Now, in order to see this film come to life and really impact society, we need your help. We need a lot of money to make sure that this is a great film. So in order to not only see the full-length feature trailer, also get some great extras from Indie Thinker, but see ways that you can help us support this film, then you need to go subscribe to our newsletter. You can do that by going to the link that's on the screen now or go to the description of this podcast. Once you're there, again, you'll not only be hosted to some great Indie Thinker extras, but you'll also find ways that you can help support this film and this channel. We need your help if we're going to make a difference, and I believe that there are a few issues as important as the issue of fatherlessness. If we can tackle this issue in a long-form documentary that will really be a great expose on the subject, then I think we can truly make a difference and we can change future generations with your help. I was going to start the show today with a conversation about Mussolini and the trains running on time, but I thought rather to go to a personal anecdote that happened to me just the other day. So I was playing with my boys in the park and I was playing football with one of them. And as I was doing so, two little girls walked beside me. One looked maybe to be about four and the other one to possibly be six, maybe seven. When they walked by me, I was overpowered by the smell of weed and cigarettes. And I was immediately kind of just taken off guard and then really, really angry about it when I saw it. And then about a minute or two later, their brother, a little bit older, walked by and of course, he was wearing a hoodie, and it's almost like a prerequisite in society today. If you have a hoodie and you're a young adult male, you're going to reek of marijuana. And so the same thing when he walked by. And I turned around and I looked at where the kids were coming from and saw the vehicle, and I was just absolutely furious. So a little bit of righteous indignation came upon me, and I grabbed my whip to go turn over the tables at the temple, and I walked over to the side of the vehicle. I didn't know how many people were in there. I didn't know their ages, who they were, or anything like that. But of course, when I got over there, I saw that they were hotboxing the car. So I went over to the window, and I said, "Hey, is that your two little girls that just walked by me?" The individual said yes, and I said, "Hey, I just want to make you aware, as they were walking by me, I was overpowered by the smell of cigarettes and marijuana. I just wanted to let you know." And the person profusely apologized to me. And I was like, "Listen, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not trying to parent you. I'm just telling you that I don't think that that's good for those kids. And I'm just looking out for their well-being." And then I walked away and continued to play with my little boy. The reason I share that story with you is that I think in our society today, that story is going to be met with a bunch of mixed reactions. I think, unfortunately, the vast majority of people will hear that story and they will say, "Who are you to put your nose in those people's business? That's their kids. If they want to raise their kids that way, that's fine. Nobody's telling you how to raise your kids, so you just need to mind your own business." The problem with that kind of sentiment is that it is incredibly morally relativistic. If we as a society cannot care for the most vulnerable in the society, well, we can rest assured that we don't have a very bright future. If we don't think that there are external repercussions for the way in which we treat other people, or that we shouldn't actually take issue with the way that people are treated in society, especially for kids who cannot speak up for themselves, then I think that our days are really numbered as a society, not only because we could just sit there and allow for the abuse of children, but simply because we are not giving ourselves the mechanism to actually push back against evils in society if we truly adopt the principles of moral relativism. Now, if you ask yourself, what is moral relativism? It's the idea that morality is in the eye of the beholder. You puritanical Christians can't push your morality down my throat because I have my own morality, as if that were a thing. So now you might disagree with the morality of Christians, but you cannot say this, I have my own morality. That doesn't exist. Morality is objective in that it doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter if you like Christianity or not. Murdering people is actually kind of a bad thing. But I do know this, that if we are not a society that cares for truth, our days are numbered. That's why I think the conversation between Destiny and Candace Owens today matters so very much, because essentially they're going to have a conversation as to whether or not it's puritanical, judgmental, you know, piety that's causing us to tell us how other people should live their lives, or if there is a right way to live your life and a wrong way to live your life. And you actually care about people if you encourage them to live their life in a way that is conducive to human flourishing. So I would argue the second. Let's see what Candace and Destiny have to say.
Like I said, I tell people how I actually live and what I actually believe. And you, I don't know. And to, I don't know that you do that.
I don't
justify women acting like whores.
Well, I don't justify trying to prescribe lifestyles to people.
What?
Don't justify trying to prescribe lifestyles to people.
It's not prescribing a lifestyle.
Of course
it's just,
it is. When somebody said that they would be happy not having kids.
Okay, I got to stop real quick and just ask the question, why not? Why can't we prescribe lifestyles to people if it is in the best interest of those individuals? Is it prescribing a lifestyle to tell somebody, hey, you should probably wear a seatbelt if you're going to drive that fast? This is what we get all the time from the moral relativists like Destiny. Don't push your morality down my throat. Keep your puritanical values to yourself and let me do what I want to do. Let me show you how quickly moral relativism breaks down, and it does so easily. Gay marriage. Not the best idea. Society and nature both tell us that moms and dads raising kids in homes is the best thing for a child. Nature tells you that a mom and a dad are necessary to make a child, so it's probably an indication that moms and dad raising kids in homes should be the way things are done. But, you know, the immediate thing that you get when you say that is, don't judge me, you know, don't prescribe your lifestyle to me. Gay marriage is the right of every citizen. It's a civil right, for crying out loud. Okay. Well, then same thing with transgenderism. I'm sure the argument would come, that's not your body part. Let people do what they want to with their body parts. Okay. So we can do whatever we want to with our body parts. So we should legalize marriage to animals in America. Well, I don't know about that, but you know, if you want to go get freaky with a horse or whatever, you know, you do your thing. Okay, well then let's legalize marriage to children. Let's just say at the ripe old age of 5 years old, perfect time to become a child bride. Well, no, you're being ridiculous. What I'm trying to show you is that moral relativism breaks down immediately. Society needs standards. They need limiting principles. Freedom is not a limiting principle. Freedom gives you the opportunity to do whatever you want to do, but it doesn't mean that everything you do should be done. Even in America, the land of the free, home of the brave, you can't go around killing whoever you want to just because they pissed you off. So in other words, we need a limiting principle in society. Morality is a great limiting principle in society. The problem with secular humanists like Destiny is they don't have any real basis for their morality. So instead, they want to say, you do you, you don't judge me, keep your views to yourself, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And morality is relative at the end of the day. Anybody can do whatever they want to do, whatever makes them feel good. But we all know that not to be true. So the reality is that people like Destiny really don't have an argument for the basis of their morality, but we all know that we need it, whereas Christians do. So because they know they can't compete in an honest debate on the subject of why we should prescribe lifestyles to people if it's beneficial to them, they can't compete, so what they do is they just retreat and they use some kind of ad hominem attack, like don't prescribe lifestyles to people, rather than to engage the subject in the fact that people actually do need a prescription for life and people actually do need a set of morality by which not only to conduct a society, by which to live their life, or else it immediately turns into chaos. One last thing to say about this. Destiny has been a part of a Christian society his whole life, so he wouldn't actually know what a morally relativistic world looks like entirely. He's been a beneficiary of the Christian principles that have been ingrained in Western society. Otherwise, we might just say, kill that person for their land. You know, you want it, you're stronger than them, survival of the fittest. That's what Darwinian evolution gives you. That Christianity gives you something different. Christianity gives you something more than the atheist and the agnostic can give you. It gives you, know that person is made in the image of God. They have intrinsic value as a human being. Do unto others as you would want to have them do unto you, so do not do that to them. And again, we have all benefited from the civilizing effect of Christianity, but we just don't want to give it credit. And when we talk about morality, they know that they have to find morality from some existential anchor, and they know that secular humanism can't do it, so they want to try to push that conversation away as much as possible. Let's keep going.
That's not what she said.
That was a bit, yeah, that was the TikTok clip you were responding to.
That was not what she said, and I can tell you exactly what she said.
That she was caught to go on
vacation. I said there was absolutely no reason to make a comment that suggests that people, she was actually being insulting to people that had kids. It wasn't just one video. She makes multiple videos about how great life is if you don't have kids. If I was making videos with my kids saying about how great life is if you just, you know, stop being a loser and get married, people would come after you because people hate the traditional lifestyle on display.
Wait, but that's literally what you guys say. No, get married, have kids. That's the only way to go. Otherwise, you're a loser.
No, we do not. That is, you're just making up words that have never come out of my mouth.
So wait, so if somebody said, if there was a young woman and she's like, I'm 20, I think I want to go to a career and be a whatever. I don't think I want to have a family. I don't think life's for me. Say, okay, well, that's fine. You should make that choice.
No, I would say that's completely normal at 20 years old. That's
So then they should change their opinion later on. What if she was 25 or 30? She's like, no, I don't think I want to have kids. Would you be, okay, that's fine.
If she was a 20-year-old person and she was saying that I don't think that I want to have kids, then what I would say is that's pretty typical because you're 20 years old and you haven't yet had the biology thing happen to you, which, like, when they say that your biological clock starts ticking, it's very real. When you get into your mid-20s, you have a totally different feeling.
So if a woman
is
25 or 30 and says, I don't think I want to have kids, I think I like my career, I'm going to stick with it, you'd say, okay, that's fine. It's your choice.
Yeah.
I do want to say something about this real quick. The idea here, I think, is even one that Candace Owens could push back on. The idea that there is some moral neutrality to a woman who just wants to have a career as opposed to a woman who wants to have a family and raise a family. That's not even precluding the idea that she could be a career woman as well and also have a family. So the idea here, again, is one of moral relativism. Destiny thinks that because Candace Owens might say that one form of living is preferable to another, that all of a sudden she's being some kind of hypocrite or something like that. Well, that might be true if what Destiny was saying were true, but it isn't. These things are not morally neutral. They are not the same. Now, it may be just fine for a woman to make the decision that she doesn't want to have kids and she wants to pursue her career, but let's not pretend that those are of equal value. Of course, it is of more value for a woman to decide to contribute to society and to reproduce the human species. More and more people are choosing not to do that, and as a result, our birth rate is declining and is now below replacement rate. It's at 1.6 or something like that. And in order for the human species to actually proliferate and continue, it has to be above 2. So in other words, we could be a generation away from utter annihilation if we don't change that. So the point is that raising kids is a good for society, and it is morally good because it helps put more humans on the planet and helps this planet continue to spin in the way that it's been spinning for generations now. I do have to say, though, here, what we see underneath all of this is something that C.S. Lewis calls bulverism. And essentially, Destiny is just trying to attack Candace and say, yeah, you're only saying that because you're a conservative. Again, this kind of moral relativistic thing. And bulverism is the idea that rather than to actually engage in the subject matter of a debate, what you actually do is kind of resort to an ad hominem, or you make it about the speaker and the person rather than the thing that you're talking about. So Ezekiel Bulver, I guess, is a young person, and he hears his parents arguing, and his mother says to the father, I think, you're only saying that because you're a man. So in other words, we're going to sidestep the argument and we're going to make this personal. And Ezekiel realizes that, hey, we could have these long debates and make them substantive in nature, but the real way to get away with winning a debate is to do a kind of tu quoque fallacy, which is to make it about the speaker or to make it ad hominem, to sidestep the actual argument. And rather than to focus on the argument. So if you focus on the argument, you have a debate. If you just focus on the speaker, you can shut them down and then you don't have to have the debate. And this is what C.S. Lewis calls Bulverism. And I think that's what we're watching right here. Rather than actually address the fact that prescribing lifestyles is good, moral relativism is bad, doesn't actually work for society, and it actually is something that is damaging our society right now, well, Destiny just simply wants to sidestep all of that and just say, the only reason you're saying that is because you're a conservative, rather than to suggest, well, maybe she's got a point. Let's keep going.
That's fine. But when you try to create a brand of it and you say things like, oh, well, you know, if you have kids, then you can't just smoke pot and stay in bed and be naked all day. This is actually something that, like, Seth Rogen just said.
Okay.
What you're doing sounds there is awesome. You're actually trying to, you're 30, how old are you? You're 35 years old.
Yep.
Okay, so what are you, what is that? What do you...
What do I do?
Like, if you were 20,
well,
and you were saying this stuff...
Well, let's say I'm a millionaire, I travel the world, I get to research and talk about whatever I want, I get to talk to cool people like you and other people, I live in Miami in a high-rise for $5 a month. I mean, I think my life is pretty okay. I mean, okay.
I
really have a question about this. And as much as possible, I know there's going to be some who just want to defend Destiny, and they'll go to the comment section here, but honestly, tell me, do you think that was a reasonable response? He merely turns to materialism. I have a high-rise in Miami, I get to travel wherever I want to. I have a little bit of cash in my pocket, and I get to talk to people like you. If that is what makes a happy life, and I know he's just kind of shooting from the cuff there and just trying to be witty in retort to Candace there, but honestly, that's the first thing that comes to mind to him. I am utterly alone. My wife just left me. I've got a bunch of money that will ultimately not bring me true fulfillment in this life. So smoke pot all day and sit naked in your bed. This is what is supposed to bring some kind of joy in life. And what Candace brings here, I think, is a very important point. Now, Candace is not one to back away from an argument, and you might not like the fact that she's attacking him on a personal level, but I think that this is not a baseless attack. How old are you is a great question, and it's a question that we need to ask in society today. If there is something that is very progressive about our society today, and is in most progressives, if not all of them, is an utter rejection of finitude, an utter rejection of time. They hate time. They certainly hate to look to the past, but they hate to realize that they are also beings in time. They absolutely want to reject all reality of time. And what I mean by that is this, is when she says, dude, you're 35 years old, isn't it time to get past high school? This is a valid critique. It's a valid question. Are you still going to be sitting in bed naked all day and smoking pot like Seth Rogen says is the awesome way to live your life when you're 75? When you're 80, you still going to be going to the club trying to hunt down chicks when you're 85 years old? You will be a laughingstock. You will be all alone sitting in your high-rise apartment in Miami wishing you had chosen differently for your life. And this is essentially what Candace is saying here. There's one more thing to say about this. I can't help but wonder if something that I talked about on some exclusive content that I did last week. If you want that exclusive content, you need to become a subscriber to the newsletter. And you need to like, share, and subscribe, by the way, if you're enjoying this video. One of the things that I brought out was a guy named G. Stanley Hall, who essentially introduced the West to the idea of adolescence. Prior to that time, you were a child, and then you were an adult. You were a child, and then you go to work, son. You go 13, 14 years old, you're in the factory, you're in the farm, all that stuff. And you may not like that, but that's the way life was. G. Stanley Hall comes in and introduces adolescence. And from that point on until the time we're at right now, people have been maturing at later and later times. Now we think college is some kind of rite of passage to bring people into maturity. And anybody that's been to college understands that keg stands and chasing chicks isn't really the thing that's going to mature you and help you become a real man. Essentially, Candace is just saying this. Are you not suffering from a mentality that is very short-lived? And ultimately, isn't it time to start living for things that matter more? Great question in my mind. Let's keep going.
Like, what are you doing when you're trying to sell to people that, you know, being a hoe is cool, smoking pot, saying
that, I don't necessarily think that being a hoe is cool.
Are you going to age out of that?
Because you're
a 35-year-old man, right?
You're
kind of doing the, like, I'm a college dorm kid and I'm trying to make everything sound cool. But I just want to point out the fact that you're a 35-year-old man, mm-hmm. and your words should matter and they should have weight.
Like I said,
if you were 20, I'd be like, I get it. When you're 35... Mm-hmm. You know, say things with conviction.
Say plenty of things with conviction, yes.
You know, and
like when I asked you, what would you recommend to a woman at 25 and 30? I didn't just start rambling about what a 20-year-old should do and how biologically, blah, 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 blah. I would say exactly what I would tell a woman at 25 or 30.
Yeah, I know, but your behavior, and I will appreciate that people that are younger won't understand what I'm saying until you hit 35, which mm-hmm. is, I'm going to be 35 this year.
Okay.
You're acting like you're a college dorm kid.
Yeah, and your catty insults towards people online make you seem like a high school mean girl. Okay. I mean, like, what do you mean? Like, we all have our things.
But you're
like,
selling to them things that you know aren't.
Okay, so, I mean, honestly, Destiny may have a point here. Does Candace sometimes just look for clickbait and just kind of do outrage bait and just slam dunk on people online just to get likes? Okay, sure. But what is at stake here is something much bigger. And I can't help but agree with Candace here. And I know you're going to say, well, you're a conservative and you're a Christian, Reed, so of course you're going to agree with Candace. But my question to you is, honestly, how can you not? What Candace is actually asking of Destiny here is just to engage in some second order thinking here, which means first order thinking is, let's think about this thing and what to do about it. Second order thinking is, what are the repercussions of that thing once we finally do that? Is that going to be good for society? Is it going to be good for our souls? Is it going to be good for us personally? This idea that you can sleep with as many people as you want and casual sex is just as equally beneficial a lifestyle as other lifestyles, not only to society, but to your soul, is just absolutely insane. There's no merit to it whatsoever. Let's keep going.
Good. So
what do you think I'm selling to them?
If you were a 25-year-old, like when I'm on the Whatever podcast and I'm surrounded by women that are in their 20s mm-hmm. and they're saying, like, you know, the whole life is good. The reason why I said to that girl that I'm going to pray for you is because I know that she's going to have a different perspective when she's older. So I'm not upset by that. I don't feel like that needs to be attacked when those young girls are around me and we're talking about all of these topics. But when I'm sitting with a 35-year-old man, okay.
And what do you think I'm selling people?
And you know better, okay?
Wait, what do you think I'm selling people?
Well,
do you think I'm telling people to be a hoe?
What I said when you were defending the lifestyle of being a hoe, why are you doing that?
I don't think I defend the lifestyle of being a hoe.
You did a whole video basically saying that none of my points of me trying to tell these women that they essentially you can do something better, you don't have to sell your body, this was your like snazzy video comeback to it. Why are you making a comeback? Yes, you can make a video and be like, why can't someone do heroin? But why would you as a 35-year-old man want to sell something to someone or make it seem okay or cool or relevant when you know it's harmful to them? I don't get that because of your age.
So I don't understand. I don't know what your takeaway from the video was, or if there are researchers that give you like talking points to my videos. But generally what I talk about is when it comes to lifestyle, you have to analyze both sides of things. If you grow up incredibly religiously conservative and you are like shamed out of sex and you don't have sex with anybody your whole life because you're super, you know, hyper cognizant of your virginity and all of these like weird things, and that's like coming from an unhealthy external place, I say, oh, well, maybe that's worth exploring. On the flip side, if you grow up like hyper liberal and you've like 20 guys by the time you're, you know, 20 years old and you just want to bang everybody and you've got like weird associations with men and everything, I'd say, hey, you should probably slow down. It's probably not healthy. I just encourage people to like explore, honestly, to have like conversations with themselves, with their parents, could be with priests, could be with therapists, could be whatever, and to kind of figure out like what works for them and don't get pushed into one direction from a culture side. It could be the left encouraging people to be way too promiscuous, or it could be the right for people that are shaming people for being promiscuous and saying that, well, this one lifestyle of family stuff is going to biologically be suited towards you as you get older. I think both of these are equally stupid because it just pushes people in the other direction.
So you don't believe in anything. Is what you're saying.
Is that what you got from that?
Well, you're not committing to
anything. I believe in actually thinking for yourself. That's what I think. I think that every human being roughly exists in this like paradigm where if you're 100 people by the time you're 20, probably not healthy. If you've never had sex before and you're 30, probably not healthy. And that you should probably like try to gravitate towards what are like human norms and then what are things that make you happy, depending on your culture, depending on your geography. And then you kind of like explore in there and don't be shamed out of exploring from one side to the other. Don't be pushed into something because somebody like Candace Owens or somebody like Stephen Bonnell tells you that you have to do a particular thing, but just like kind of explore.
I don't tell
and
people
things.
That they have to do a particular thing, but if I see somebody that's doing heroin, I'm not going to be like, you know, it is whatever. And it's just like, whatever.
You think that heroin is comparable to recreational sex?
I am, quite frankly, I actually think a woman as the one that I sat across from when you were critiquing this video who says that she slept with up to, what was it, 20 men per night? Yeah, it's just as bad. And I know that that has to be hurting her soul. So I look at her as a human being.
Hurting her
and,
soul? What if she just has a different lifestyle than you?
Doesn't.
Completely.
She
no, does, she doesn't. You know?
No, she what do you mean? You know, she's telling you, she was very honest, actually. And that's why I appreciate her, because she was very honest that for her, it is just about money. Okay. But when I see that individual, when a young woman is saying that she'll sleep and see up to 10 to 20 clients per night, that's a broken individual. And it's just as, when you, just as when you see
why?
Somebody who says that, you know, they're doing heroin or doing this, they don't need the guy, the cool guy at the party to be like, yeah, man, it's whatever. Like, it's like, no, you actually like structure. You need somebody to say to you, you don't have to do this.
Yes. And amen. And again, I know you know, I'm going to say that, but here's why. Sure, judge both sides, as Destiny is saying here. Be willing to consider both positions, but also be willing to draw conclusions about those things once you've done that. A free and independent thinker is willing to do that. And I just have to tell you, one of the first things that you have to notice about somebody who actually has a relationship built on fidelity and a person who is having sex with 20 men each night, the difference there is something that is not only damaging to your soul, but damaging to your body. I mean, have we just totally forgotten that STDs even exist anymore? We had that conversation a lot when comprehensive sex education was first being introduced into schools. That was the way they backdoored that kind of sexual deviancy into children, is to say we're protecting them from unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. And now the conversation has slippery sloped itself all the way down into, who are you to tell me not to have sex with 20 men each night? I mean, can you understand how risky of a behavior that actually is? That's a problem. And as I mentioned before, not only is it a risk physically to the individual, but it's also a risk to their soul. I mean, this is what Candace says. That person has a soul. It's not just equal one way or the other, no matter how you look at it, because morality is relative. If you didn't have a soul, maybe so, but because you do, everybody can tell you that kind of lifestyle down the road leaves you ultimately unfulfilled. Now, we've told a generation of people for far too long that you're an accident, you're just a bunch of molecules and atoms, and you know, you bumped into each other one day and boom, out came some primordial ooze, and then you sprung from that ooze, you're an accident, there's no divine purpose to your life, and all of that stuff. And then human beings, quite frankly, start acting like animals. And then we wonder why. So yes, a human being has the capacity for moral thinking unlike animals. Animals can judge between two positions. Higher thinking demands that we actually then make conclusions about that thing, and we realize what will be ultimately damaging for us on an emotional and personal level, and what will be damaging for us on a physical level. So human beings have that higher order thinking. And Destiny just seems to totally want to step around that so that he doesn't have to actually admit that Christianity may be a good answer for society today and actually has some merit for the way in which people live. All right, one final thing on this very subject.
I'm trying to tell these women that they are worth more. And when I said to that girl at the end of it, which I don't believe you showed, that I will pray for you and that you can do much more than this, that came from the heart, actually.
No, that is the most condescending thing a religious person can say to a non-religious person. I will pray for you.
Okay, you can deal with your, you know, I know that you went to a Jesuit school and you've got some issues with somebody.
Why do you think I have issues?
But I meant that because—
I loved my high school.
Because for me to say, like, I meant what I said to her, that I would pray for her. Like, her, when she was describing
why
my,
do you need
she
to
was
tell
very
her
upfront,
that you'll pray for her?
Because I did pray for her.
Then do it privately. Why do you need to tell her that? You're only telling her that because you think you've got such a condescension about you. You've got such an air of superiority that you're going to pray for
air
her.
Air of
to
superiority?
God.
Because
yeah,
I said I would. God forbid someone says they'll pray. That's obviously an air of superiority because they're saying they're going to include you in their prayers. Which
well,
is
I mean, like,
literally
you say,
something
God
that my
forbid,
husband
but like, quite literally, God forbid.
Literally
isn't there a whole story of a lady going to a temple and quietly putting like 2% or whatever?
Weird anti-Christian rhetoric.
What is anti-Christian about this?
If you say I'll pray for you, it's obviously you trying to be better. It's like, no, why are you even reacting to that? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for everybody that listens and watches this show.
I have to laugh at this because I think it's really funny that it is condescending to say I'm going to pray for you, but it is not condescending to tell a Christian to shut up and you don't need to tell someone that. You just go pray in your prayer closet. That's not condescending whatsoever. So all of a sudden you're going to pull out the only scripture verse you know from the Bible, and you're going to put some authority to the Bible now that it's convenient for your point. To tell somebody that you're praying for them is not condescending. It's actually very sweet, very kind. And Candace is right to point out the fact that the only reason that Stephen Destiny believes that this is condescending is because he has a hatred for Christianity. And the truth is, for those of us who are Christians, we understand that if he didn't hate it so much, he might actually open his eyes to see that Christianity is the cure for the very thing they're talking about right now, for the moral relativism of our age. So much of the sexual deviancy we see from people like Destiny and from the Whatever podcast and OnlyFans just in general is not morally ambiguous, but it actually comes from a place. It comes from a very solid standpoint. Rousseau believed that all men are born free but are everywhere in chains. In other words, it's society that's the problem. It's not my sinful desires. In the debate on nature versus nurture, Rousseau believes that all of us are good, but that culture and people keep holding us down. It's that repressive Christianity that's bothering us. As a result of that kind of thinking, let me introduce you to modern day man, people like Destiny. He has a long list of things he wishes to complain about and very little personal responsibility, you know, like an actual man should have. If he has the right skin tone, he can blame systemic racism. If he has the wrong body parts, he can chop them off and then blame his biology. If he happens to be white, he can blame his privilege, and then everyone will applaud him, and we can all live happily ever after. It's all society's problem, which creates self-pity and victimization. And again, is not a morally neutral standpoint. It's a morally egregious standpoint. It just happens to fly in the face of what actually could be beneficial to society. Since we all see that society is not going well today, you should also know it didn't go well for Rousseau in his day. Rousseau wrote his magnum opus in the book on childhood education, in which he promoted his views about children and how they are born naturally good and provided the keys to raising happy, healthy children. Unfortunately, you should know the sexual promiscuity, the anti-Christian bias of Rousseau ultimately led this thinker to be a total hypocrite. And he had about 5 children, which none of which he raised on his own, but instead allowed a Paris orphanage to take care of all of the children that he created so that he could go pursue moral relativism. See, Rousseau was busy pursuing sexual experiences without chains of puritanical sexual ethics that were trying to be placed on him in society. And as a result of it, every single one of his kids did not have a father. So here's my encouragement to each and every person that's watching today. Play the long game. Live your life in such a way that when you're 75, you won't look back with a ton of regrets. You'll be glad for the life that you lived. Old age is seen as a bummer by modern man. No, I don't want to be an old dude. You know, stuff like that. But the Bible views old age as a reward for a life well lived. If your version of living life to the fullest is getting rich and traveling and banging everyone you see, you'll figure out very quick, carnal pursuits and service of pleasure are very short-lived. You'll look back one day on your banging years and think to yourself, boy, was it worth it? All alone in my apartment, with all of my money squandered because it was all about living for yourself and living for pleasure, you'll really have some honest questions then. Let me tell you now to save you some time. It isn't worth it. And you don't have to get a bunch of STDs to tell you that. Start living for things that matter tomorrow rather than only things that feel good today, and you'll find a life well lived that awaits you, not only in this life, but by grace, even perhaps in the afterlife. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for watching. If this show was beneficial to you, I'd love to hear from you down in the comment section below. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and go with God.